Mark chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains he had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, this is Jesus speaking, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for the many blessings, Lord, just for allowing me to preach, Lord, to share what you've given to me, God. And I ask you just use me, Lord, just give me the right words to say, God, that I can deliver the message, God, and that you just help the guys to be able to listen and just pay attention, that they, Lord, that you speak to them, Lord, and help them to get something from the message, Lord, and that, God, that you help us just, that your presence be felt here, Lord, and that you can just, Lord, be heard through the message and just help us to have a good remainder of the day and be with those that are on their way still, just protect them, and, Lord, just be with our class time. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat. Mark chapter 5, we just, the first couple verses from verses 1 through 20, I only read up to verse 14, we read here that Jesus coming off the ship, he has just, if you read Mark 4, he was preaching to a multitude of people, but he stood on a ship, and after he had finished preaching, they began to set a sail. And the previous portion of scripture, if you read Mark 4, 35 to 41, it's when Jesus calms the storm. The disciples are out in the middle of the water on the ship. You know, it's a tempest, and the people are, the weather is horrendous. It looks horrible, and these people and the disciples are freaking out. And Jesus here is here's a cool part in verse 38, Mark 4. If you look back, it says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. So I mean, you can imagine the disciples' reaction. You know, this storm is in their way. They're thinking they're about to die, and yeah. Jesus sitting on the boat just sleeping, like. You probably think in your mind, like, we're going to die. This guy doesn't care about us. Like, he doesn't really, you know, love us, like he says. But then they says here, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So the storm is hitting the boat. Everything is going wrong, possibly. And they're saying, Master, Jesus, do you not care about us? Like, it's kind of a dumb question to ask, considering if he didn't care about you, he wouldn't be with you in the boat to begin with. Sure. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Think about that. You know, you're in the boat with Jesus. I would be, you know, relaxed too, but I understand from a human perspective, the disciples are freaking out about this storm. And yet Jesus here comes and says, it says here, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? You know, in circumstances like that, in situations like that, we lose faith and we sometimes forget that God is with us, but we just instantly get into a panic. We begin to start scrambling to figure out how we're going to solve this problem through our flesh instead of giving it to God. Yeah. And so after the instance, they get to the other side of the sea, as it says in Mark 5:1, it says they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And it's immediately, it says there in verse 2, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, it says, with an unclean spirit. I mean, I can imagine the disciples just finished this whole situation with the storm, and they're on the ship. And then as soon as they step foot off, this man that's demon-possessed comes running to them. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's a little bit intimidating if you ask me. Like, I would want somebody that is coming from the cemetery running directly to me, you know, to ask me something. That's not normal. That's not something that you encounter every day. And it says in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. So
This man, he lives there. He's set aside. He's an outcast. No one wants to deal with him because he's demon-possessed. Nobody wants to give him a chance. And then it says, it says that no man could bind him, not with chains. So even if they tried to chain this man down, he would break them. He would find a way to escape. Yeah. Guys, this is a serious situation. Like, you think this man has incredible strength. This man is just outrageous, out of his mind. But from a human perspective, think about that. Like, this is something that you would want to avoid at all costs. It'd be making headlines on the news. You would see it, and then people would be telling you, hey, don't go that direction. There's that maniac. Yeah, there's that man over there that he's going to break the chains. He could do something. He could harm somebody. Yeah. Stay away from there.
Yeah.
But thank God that it wasn't up to us. It wasn't up to the disciples to take care of the situation.
Right.
And so you hear, we see that Jesus takes care of the situation. He completely changes this man's life. But I want to focus today on the title of my message is how this man's life was changed. And he went from, this is my title, from maniac to missionary. Amen. From a maniac to missionary. This was years ago, in the late 1800s, there was a man by the name of Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was one of seven children, and he grew up in a tough situation. This man grew up, was an alcoholic. It is said that Mel Trotter would drink as much was served to him. So it was pretty much he would drink till he would pass out, till he couldn't drink anymore, till he blacked out, till he couldn't, you know, recognize his own self. So Mel Trotter, he would drink, he would completely, you know, waste his life to the bottles, they would say. He couldn't maintain a job. He couldn't maintain a job because of his addiction. He let alcoholism get the best of him. Yeah. And then he just was overcome by this. So there was a point in time where he was a little bit sober and he was doing a little bit better. And he got married. But unfortunately, to his wife's surprise, she found out about his alcohol addiction. And you know, back then people took marriage, you know, a lot more serious than they do today. But she tried her best to help him, but there was just no use. This man was sold to the alcohol bottle. Mm-hmm. You know, it came to a point in time where Mel Trotter was at his lowest. Mel Trotter had two children. His daughter passed away. She had an illness, and he was given some money from the doctor. The doctor provided this prescription. The doctor himself gave Mel Trotter this money to potentially save his daughter's life. But Mel Trotter, because of his addiction, because of his desire, went and spent the doctor's money on alcohol himself. Wow. He was selfish enough to go spend it on himself. But then it gets worse. Mel Trotter also, he was so envious, he needed to find more money to get himself more alcohol. And Mel Trotter went to his daughter's funeral, took the shoes off of his daughter's dead corpse and sold them for more alcohol. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That addiction that was, it overcame him. He had to get that. He had to get that bit of alcohol to find that temporary pleasure. Think about that. His own daughter's, you know, dead corpse, taking her shoes and selling it. Wow. Well, after a while, Mel Trotter got to his alcohol. He drank away his so-called pain. And then it came to the point where Mel Trotter thought about committing suicide. Mel Trotter went to front of a railroad, in front of a train, and was planning on letting the train run him over and taking his own life away. But oh, thank God that wasn't the case. Mel Trotter, he was walking nearby, and a man came from a Pacific Missions thing going on there, a conference, and they gave him a tract. They invited Mel Trotter to come over to the service. And that night, Mel Trotter converted his life. Mel Trotter accepted Jesus as Savior. And if you read about it later on, Mel Trotter did an immense work. He has his ministries now. I mean, they're a little bit different. But back then, Mel Trotter was giving people, you know, advice on how to overcome alcoholism. And his life was completely changed from the man that he once was. He went from a drunk, he went from an alcoholic, to a man preaching the gospel, to a man sharing the truth, to those having the same issues that he had.
Yeah.
You know what? Mel Trotter used his testimony to reach people. Are you using your testimony to reach people? You might come from a single parent home. You might come from a home where you have guardians. You might not have any parents. You might live with your aunt and your grandparents. And you know what? You might come in contact with somebody that has the same issues that you're coming from. But are you helping them with that? Are you showing through your testimony that God can change lives, that God can save lives? You know, ask yourself, how can a man in this passage of scripture, Mark 5, how can a man go from being demon possessed to telling people what Jesus did?
Yeah.
That's something only God can do.
That's right.
That's not something that man has the ability to do.
That's right.
And my first point we're going to look here is we're going to look at the horrifying condition. Let's look at verse number 3.
Uh-huh.
It says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. This guy's house was literally in the cemetery.
Yeah.
He was hurting. He was outcasted. He was unwanted. Nobody wanted to deal with him. Nobody wanted to help him. Nobody wanted any part of this demon-possessed man. Yeah. They all looked at him. They probably, you know, you can imagine if you're a father, you wouldn't want your children near there. You wouldn't want your children to play. Right. Or if they have to go through that area, you would rather go yourself instead of sending them. Yeah. But you would want to avoid this man at all costs.
Right.
And I mean, I'm sure for, you know, at the times when the customs, when they would have, you know, burials and stuff, they wouldn't want people going through there too, because this man is a maniac. He's living there. Right. But look at verse number 4. And says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. It's not just saying he's been, you know, chained up one time. It says often. This is occurring. This isn't one time. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. This man, he's gone through everything. People have put fetters. They've chained him. They tried to tame him. I'm sure, you know, it came to a point where both of them, they're probably like beating the man to try to get him to calm himself down, but nothing worked. Right. No man can tame him.
Right.
Think about that. These are scenes that only you could read about in the Bible. This is something that it's crazy to think about when you read the Bible, and yet some people have the audacity to say the Bible's boring. Anyway, and it says here in verse number 5, and says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stone. Guys, this guy was in the worst possible position. Like this man, it couldn't get any worse than it is for now for him. He's consistently crying day and night, asking people to help him, asking someone to just reach out to him. But you know what? It says he was cutting himself with stones. This guy probably had like flesh exposed. He's just tormenting himself. He's just overcome with these unclean spirits. And no one would bat an eye. No one would go out to make an attempt to help him. Guys, I want you to take this picture of this man right here. I said he's consistently tormenting him, and it says day and night. Think about this picture. This could be a perfect example of a man who is not saved.
Yep.
This could be a picture of somebody who has not received Christ as their Savior. They might not be physically cutting themselves. They might not be physically in torment. But guys, they're wandering alone, waiting for somebody to share the truth of the gospel. They want somebody to show them what the Bible says. Right. They want to know Jesus. But yet some of us, we could be like those people in that town. We walk right past. We don't pay attention. We don't want to give them the time of day. You know, we always talk about how we hand out tracts to some of the, you know, tougher looking people at the gas station or in public. You know, guys, even those people deserve Christ. Yeah. Not just the church kid that grew up his whole life here. Not just the bus kid that we bring in every Sunday to come listen to the preaching. Not just the kid that goes to the Christian school who, you know, is there by his parents' choice, not by his. Everyone deserves a chance at the gospel. It's not just the people that come to the church. Guys, everyone, even the drunk man like Mel Trotter, he deserved an opportunity to hear the gospel. Right. And what are we doing with the gospel? Are we keeping it to ourselves, or are we sharing the truth with other people? Mm. And so verses 3-5, we know we established that no one could help him. The unclean spirit had a hold on this man's life. You know, people avoided him, made no communication. All seemed hopeless for this man. All seemed hopeless, and there was continual torment. But think about it this way, guys. When people walk by and stuff, how often do we miss those divine opportunities to we can witness to somebody? Mm-hmm. How often has God said, hey, I want you to go talk to this person. Hey, I want you to go and reach them. Give them a tract. Just invite them. It'll change their day. Guys, a tract can go a long way.
Right.
Somebody can go through the rough and the most absolute worst situations in life, but you handing them a tract can change their day and maybe even their life completely.
Amen.
You know what? Your job is just to hand it to them. God will take care of the rest. God will take care of how they respond to it. And guys, think about, could anything be done to help this man? I mean, he's insane. He's a maniac. Like, no, he's breaking chains. He's beating himself. He's tormenting. He's cutting himself. Seems like there's no help. No one human possible can do something to help this man. But then Jesus showed up.
Then
Jesus showed up and says here in verse number 6, I want you guys to look at it. It says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Think about this. This man, he's cutting himself. He's yelling. He's at the top of his lungs. He's crying day and night. But he sees Jesus and he runs and worships him. I can't imagine, you know, being the disciples, being, you know, Peter, Mark, or John, and just watching this guy like yelling from a distance and just screaming in agony. And then all of a sudden he sees Jesus and he runs your direction. Like I said, I don't know about you, but I'd probably run the opposite way. I wouldn't want to be near him. I don't want him running to me. I mean, I don't know what to do. This guy's insane. But Jesus saw something in him. Jesus saw something, an opportunity to change and convert a life. It says here in verse number 7, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. My second point here is We're going to see the healing conversion. Amen. For healing conversion. Verses 7 through 10, it says, we were just read number 7, verse start at 8. It says, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Right. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." So think about this, guys. This man is insane. He's a maniac. He's doing all the horrible, horrendous things, punishing himself. And then all of a sudden, he sees Jesus, not only runs to him, but worships him. And he says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Guys, think about that. The power of God is felt here. Think about how God's power is so strong enough that even the demons are appalled. They're held to respect Jesus' position, that they even ask him, like, "What does that have to do with me?" You know? And it says here in verse 9, Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" That goes so far as to say they even gave Jesus their name. They had overcome this man that was living in the cemetery. He was beating himself. They were tormenting him. But when Jesus showed up, everyone listens. Everyone is paying attention. Everyone gives their 2 cents to listen to Jesus. And says, so he runs to Jesus and worships him. How can this be? Because God has a power that no man can possess. Right. God's meeting with this man was divine. What was going to be accomplished was accomplished by no one else. His life would be changed radically for the better. Yes. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. It says here, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Mm-hmm. Think about this, guys. So this man, he couldn't do it by himself. Nobody else could do it. But when God showed up, he started giving his attention. You see a little bit of a change in his composure and the way that he's going about things. But guys, I want to focus this on our account. You know, we might know somebody, maybe somebody in our life that we see often. We might know them. Oh, they never listen. They never do it. You know, they live out in the world. They're drinking. Oh, they're smokers. They're out in drugs. They're involved in pornography. They're involved in drugs. Just anything in the world, it's immoral. But guys, just because they're involved in that does not exclude them from hearing the gospel.
Right.
They deserve the gospel just as much as you did before you got saved. Yeah. Guys, think about it. Those of us, you know, that grew up as bus kids, had that bus captain not knocked on your door, where would you be? You know, had that bus captain given up on his route and said, "You know what? These kids don't come. They don't listen. They don't even bother showing up. They don't open the door when I knock on them. Forget it." Could you imagine where you would be in today's position? You know, where you would be. Would you be in church still? Would you be far away? Would you be involved with the vials of the world?
Uh-huh.
Guys, be thankful for these men that didn't give up on you. Yeah. These bus captains, they sacrifice. They work probably more than 40-hour shifts throughout the week. They pay bills. They have things to take care of, families. They have, you know, responsibilities. But yet, they take enough time on a weekend to come visit you and ask if you want to come to church. Mm-hmm. The least we could do is show up for 2 hours on Sunday morning and pay attention and stay awake. Guys, these are sacrifices that we don't have to make. But we do it because we love Christ.
Amen.
How much do you love Christ? How far does your love for God go? Mm-hmm. Does it only go to where you only come on Sunday mornings? To where you only open your Bible up on Sunday mornings as well? Or does it, you know, is your love for God just by words and not by actions? The way that you live speaks louder than the way that you talk.
That's
you know,
right.
The way that you conduct yourself outside of this church is the way that your testimony goes about. You know what? We always talk about how the church is here. Yes, this is obviously the physical building of the church, but you yourself, as you might be a member, as a member of Woodlawn Baptist Church, you are the church.
Right.
When you step out of this church and go out into your regular life, I know some of you live in apartments, some of you might go to public school. When you go out into those places like that, you are representing Woodlawn Baptist Church.
Amen.
And it's up to you whether you want to have a good testimony or not, whether you want to live for God and represent Him in all that you do. Do you want to make Jesus look good, or do you want to be one of the devil's pride possessions?
Huh.
Think about that. This man here, these devils have overcome him, and they're, like I said, they're prized possession. They're beating him up. They're completely tormenting him. But when Jesus showed up, things changed. You know what? The people that no one will give the time of day to are the ones that God wants us to reach. The people that, you know, we might think, oh, he's a little awkward or he's a little weird. Or I don't know if I want to associate much with him. Those are the people that deserve the gospel too. Yeah. You know what? They might be different. God doesn't care about skin complexion, guys. That's God right. doesn't care about race. God doesn't That's care right. about where we come from, our background. He doesn't care about that because number one, we were all made by him. Yeah. We're all his creation. Yeah. We're all made in his image. Amen. Guys, everyone deserves to hear the gospel. Amen. Not just because you wear a suit and tie or you anything special. Uh-huh. You can wear a suit and tie the entirety of your life, but you can have a rotten heart. You can right. be in church every Sunday, but also not be in church while you're sitting in the pew. Uh-huh. You could be listening to the preaching, but your mind be somewhere else. You could be hearing the pastor preach his heart out to you, but you've already had your mindset that you're going to get away from it. Mm-hmm. Guys, there's people that would give anything to be here on a Sunday That's morning. Right. They That's would right. do anything. I mean, you look at China. We have seen yes, years ago, there's a missionary here that went out there and handed out Bibles in secret to Chinese Bible-believing Christians. And guys, if you could see the scenes, these people were crying. They yeah. were holding on for dear life to these yes. Bibles. And yet, some of us here, we have like four. We don't even open any of them. Huh. They're collecting dust in our bookshelf. Huh. We only use it for school because it's a textbook. Which, by the way, if you really love God, it's not a textbook. It's your daily journal. Guys, Amen. These things are serious. These are things that we take for granted sometimes. I mean, you look, for, like I said, for me, for myself included, I'll throw this in there. So, you know, for sometimes I take it for granted, you know, that I come from a home where both of my parents go to church, my older siblings go to church, and they taught me what was right. They taught me what the Bible says and how to stay true and pure and holy. Guys, don't take that for granted. There's kids that would give anything to be in the position that I was in, that I grew up in. Guys, they would give anything to go to the school that you went to have the opportunities to go to conferences and to go to different, That's you know, right. rallies that you guys went to. That's right. But yet some of us, as here as church kids, some of us as bus kids, we take that for granted. And we think, oh, it's just a waste of time. This isn't going to affect me. This isn't going to change me. I've already had my mindset. I want to be the next, you know, the so-and-so. I want to be the next rap artist. Blizzard. I want to be the next drug dealer. Oh, I want to be this. I want to have a position in the world. But guys, at the end of the day, your position and your job, that position that in the world that you want to have, your social status, guys, that's all is garbage. God doesn't care about that. God doesn't care about your title. He is no respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. Guys, what God cares about is what you did for him while you had the time to do it. God cares what you will do for him. Let's look here in verse number 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, and he entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Jesus changed a life that people thought had no repair. Right. Events like this only happen when Jesus comes by. Even if it was just that man that God had to speak to, that God had an appointment with, even if it was just that man he had to visit over on the other side of the sea, God would have still made time and changed that man's life. Huh. God cares. Look, I know we have the whole campaign going on about, you know, witnessing and soul winning. Guys, that's all great. I've heard wonderful testimonies yeah. about you guys witnessing to people. Even if you just get one,
yeah.
that matters to God. Amen. Just one soul is what God loves. You know, when you try, if you at least try, that's what God wants right. to see. But some of us, we know better. We have the ability to communicate with other people, but we don't use our talents for God. Guys, we think... Let me be frank here. Guys, some of us think, you know, we're going to make it to the league. We're going to go play sports professionally. Guys, I hate to break it to you. We're not, you know, gift talented like that. Look, I mean, I had those ambitions too. I know where you're coming from. Like, I wanted to play in the league and all that stuff. But guys, it's just a sad reality. I think the percentage is like a 1.2% chance of actually going professional. So think about that. Mm-hmm. So put all that aside. Think about the talents God has given you. You know, for some of us, it might be a speaking talent. For some of us, it might be for us to easily make friends with people.
Yeah.
Are we using those abilities and talents to live for the Lord? Are we using those talents that God has given us for His glory, for His will? Are we sharing the truth? I mean, for crying out loud, I'm sure all of us outside of church, we have a good amount of friends, you know. Do they know that we go to church? Mm. Do they know that you're a Christian? By the way that you live, do they say, hey, this guy is serious about this? This guy is actually living out what he says. You know, this church thing might be a serious thing for him. Like, do people see that you prioritize church? Do they see that you prioritize Christ? You know, oftentimes we ruin our testimony because we say one thing, but we live contrary. You know, you might say, oh, I love Jesus and all, but you're listening to country music, you're listening to rap music, you're listening to all the vices of the world, so you look no different from the world's crowd.
Right, right.
Guys, As Christians, we're supposed to live separate. We're supposed to live sanctified lives.
Yeah.
And you know what? This guy, this man, this maniac, he stood out because his life was in shambles. This guy was just in complete dismay. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know. He felt like he had no repair. He was going to be possessed the rest of his life. There was nobody who was going to help him. You know what? Think about this. Not only was this man's life changed completely, but this man came from a rough beginning, but God changed his life around for the better. Yep. You want to talk about people with rough beginnings? Let's talk about Paul. Paul was murdering Christians before he became a missionary, before God met him on the way to Damascus. You know what? Blind Bartimaeus, this man was blind his whole life. And when he heard Jesus coming by. Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Guys, blind Bartimaeus was consistent. He was doing everything. He was pushing his way through the crowds. And the disciples were, you know, rebuking him. They say, put away with you. We don't want anything to do with you. This man was consistent. He was determined to get to Jesus.
Yeah.
And he was blind. Think about that. All of us have our senses working, I hope. And yet we don't even make that much determination to get to church on Sunday morning, to wake up and read our Bible, to spend time with God, to pray. The woman at the well, you know what? God asked her for a drink of water. Jesus asked her for a drink of water. And so, you know, this woman, the thing about her was she was not a Jew. And so she had no dealings with those people. But yet God knew her testimony and God knew where she was coming from. Yeah. This woman had more than just one husband, but God still saved her soul. Amen. God still gave her an opportunity. Amen. God still saw something in her that maybe nobody else would have saw. Right. You know what? Look at the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. You know what? This man at the pool of Bethesda, there was a certain time when the waters would stir and the first person to touch that would be healed of their ailments. When Jesus walked by this lame man, he told him, rise up and take up thy bed and walk. This man got up and rolled up his stuff and walked. Yeah. Jesus was there for that. Only Jesus could have done that. Yeah. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was dead. People thought Jesus was late. He had been there earlier. This wouldn't have happened. Guys, if we looked in John 11:35, that's the only part in scripture. In that portion of scripture, it says Jesus wept. This man, God showed human emotions here. God wept when Lazarus passed away. You know what? God still showed up when he needed to. And you know what? All that Jesus had to do was say, Lazarus, come forth. And there came Lazarus from the dead. Right. Guys, don't tell me that God can't change your life. Right. Don't tell me that God doesn't work miracles in today. Guys, God can change a life even in 2023. Yeah. I know we might see the news. I know we might see everything going downhill. You know, politics are just rampant and just, evil politicians and this, you know, the drag queens and the LGBTQ garbage, all that stuff that's prevailing in our elementary schools and perverting our little kids' mind. Guys, I know all this stuff is getting worse and worse, but guys, that's what the world is going to do. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. But you know what? Our God is still going to be on the throne at the end of the day. Right. Our God is still going to reign. Our God is still going to be in control, even when we feel like there's no solution for, you know, these issues that are going on. God is still in control. And yep. God notices those that are doing his work. God notices those that spend time with him, that talk with him, and that, you know, have a consistent prayer life, that read the Bible every day. Yep. And guys, God will use those people. Guys, we still need missionaries, even in this country. We need people to go out and preach and start churches in America. Amen. Because guys, there's towns, there's cities that don't have a bus route. Then there's children in here in America that have not heard about the Bible, that have not heard about the stories that we hear multiple times through our childhood about Noah and the Ark, about Adam and Eve. You know, and that's one of the bigger ones too with Adam and Eve, you know, because nowadays, you know, like all these crazy ideologies that we come from, monkeys that we just randomly exploded onto the scene. Guys, The Great Commission is out for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone has a role in the Great Commission. Everybody has a role in the will of God. And you know what? For those of us that are saved, that have been saved for a while, when you're outside of the will of God, you're in dangerous territory. You're stepping away from your calling. Guys, you are playing with fire. Think about that. God called you out of the world to be set aside for him and to be used by him.
Yep.
And then for you to go out and defy what God has called you to do, it's almost as if you're just spitting in the face of God. Mm-hmm. You're spitting in his face, say, God, I know better. I want to do my life better. God, I want to make more money and live in a fancy house out on the hill. I want to have the nice car. I want to have the nice material possessions, God. I want to have that 401k set up already. I want to have, you know, triple digits in my bank account, whatever. Guys, all that, there's nothing wrong with having all that stuff. But at the end of the day, that is not important. That's God right. doesn't care about how much money you have in your bank account. He doesn't care how many friends you have. He doesn't care about your material possessions. You can have the nicest of cars. You can have the nicest of homes. You can come from the nicest of neighborhoods. God doesn't care about your status. What God cares about is how you look before him. Is how are you living for him? Are you living for God or are you living for the devil? Are you consistently, you know, in the Bible? Are you consistently praying to him and talking to him and spending time with him before you start your day? Or do you just go about it winging it, as they say, and just letting things go by? You know, God gave too much for us not to give back to him. You know, there was so much given at the cross for us to just throw away to the side. Yeah. And at this church too, guys, the history of this church, there were so many people that gave sacrifice, that gave too much for us just to throw this church down the drain.
Right.
Guys, our responsibility as the current generation is to keep that going.
Amen.
Who's going to be the next Brother Chuck Webb? Who's going to be the next Brother Chad Pape? Who's going to be the next Brother Bob, who, even when he had back surgeries, was still persistent on visiting his class? He was still, you know, praying for people while he was going through the worst of times.
Yeah.
Guys, who's going to be the next Brother Tut, who even when COVID was still happening, he was still visiting his children on the bus route. He was still going out knocking on doors. Guys, who is going to be the next generation to stand up?
Amen.
We have too many people that have gone away. Guys, from my youth group, when I was a lot younger, when I was like 13 or 14, there was a lot of people in my youth group. There was a lot of people that I thought, oh man, these guys are going to make it. These guys are going to do something great for the Lord. They preached probably in this class or, you know, in some other setting. But guys, I look back on it and all these guys, like most of these guys that I could probably name, but I won't, they're gone. They're not here anymore. Their lives are a wreck. They're ruined. They chose the vices of the world. They chose to do what they wanted. They chose to go mess around with women. They chose to go and live life how they pleased, how they thought fit for their own eyes. And now they live miserable. They live away from God. They don't come to church anymore. And we're happy when they come back, guys. Well, don't get me wrong. We're excited. We want to see them come back. But guys, pray that it shouldn't have started with them leaving first to begin with.
Right.
Guys, had they still been here, the guys, their lives would be a lot better. Had they still loved God like they did to begin with, they wouldn't have been out of church to start with.
Yeah.
So, verse 15, we're going to see here the definite changing. Definite changing is a sub-point. It's not my third point. verse 15 says, and they come to Jesus and see him. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So in verse 14, I forgot to read that. It says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. So I can't imagine being these people that are feeding the swine, taking care of these pigs. All of a sudden, you know, you're feeding them. They start making, you know, you've heard pig noises before when they start getting riled up, or those of us have gone to camp when you're chasing a pig, you hear that they squeal and stuff. You know, these pigs, these swine, they run down this hill and they all, 2,000 of them, just drown. You're thinking to yourself, like, did I feed them something? Like, I mean, I would probably be in a state of shock. Like, what did I do? Like, how am I supposed to explain this to my boss? Like, I can't imagine what to tell this guy. But they ran, they fled, and they told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. But then verse 14 is where I mentioned is the definite changing.
Yeah.
You know, verse 14 was the dramatic cleansing, but 15 was the definite changing. And it says that he see him that was possessed with the devil had legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So guys, think about it this way. You're somebody from the town, you know about this maniac. This man is, you know, cutting himself, crying out day and night, screaming in agony, you know, living in the cemetery. And then all of a sudden you hear about Jesus coming by in town, changing him. And you're thinking to yourself, like, there's no way. This is some crazy stuff. You go over there. Guys, it says he's sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind. You're probably thinking to yourself, wait. Like, this is not the same guy that was just over there cutting himself, that was just screaming, that was just breaking the chains that we would try to hold him down. And this can't be the same guy. Like, I would be, you know, as the word, flabbergasted. Like, I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to do. Like, this is insane. Like, I can't believe this. This is true. And guys, you know, we notice it says he was, in verse 14, he says he was sitting, which in verse number three, it says no man could bind him. So this man was consistently moving. He was, you know, just breaking everything in sight. Like, he was just a maniac. He was calmed. It says he was clothed. And which, if you look, I think in Luke, I think in Luke 8, which is another portion of scripture that talks about the same story, it says that this man was naked, he was not clothed, he was just out and about. And then it says in verse 15, it says, and he was in his right mind. Guys, this guy was thinking clearly. He was thinking, you know, properly. He could, you know, form probably better sentences. He could speak for himself. He could, you know, talk like a normal person. He wasn't in agony anymore. He wasn't yelling or screaming.
Yeah.
Like, this is a sight where you're just like, what in the world is going on? Like, this guy was just over there. Like, what happened? And it says here in verse in 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And verse 17, and they began to pray to him to depart out of their coast. So think about it this way. So not only was this man converted and just completely changed his life around, he was, because demons are cast out. They went to go see what happened, and then they hear about what Jesus did. And what's their first instinct? They think, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. So not only did he come and heal this man who was possessed with the devil, and he put him in a right state of mind, clothed him, changed his life completely. Mm-hmm. The first thing that these town folks do is to kick Jesus out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're probably thinking to yourself, like, what in the world? Like, I would want Jesus to stay here in case something like that ever happens again. Like, if there's another demon-possessed man that I'm aware of or something, I want him to come over there. I don't want him to leave. I want him to stay here and keep this man tame. Like, I want Jesus here. But these town folks here, they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. They didn't want him here. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. It goes back to, look, if you look in John 1, and says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. This is one of those instances where these people heard and they listened and they witnessed something that Jesus did, yet they still didn't believe. Yeah. Guys, even nowadays, people can witness God working in their lives, yet they still won't give an ear to the Lord. They won't give an ear to the gospel. And you know what, guys? That's not our fault. When we do our jobs and we share the gospel, and you know what? And they don't accept it. Mm-hmm. It's not anything that you did. Mm-hmm. It's their choice. God gave us as human beings the free will, the liberty to choose whether we want to live for him or not.
Yeah.
And you know what? In this instance, that was one of their privileges used, that they chose to have Jesus kicked out of the city.
Mm.
But you know what? Guys, like I said, that's normal. That's what the world's reaction is. You know what? They can see God work in mighty ways in our lives and even in our country. If God allows it, we'll have another great awakening, you know, with us as Christians stepping up. But guys, there will be people that will still reject God. Even in the tribulation period, Bill Thomas talked about multiple times, there will be people that will see horrendous things and yet still not accept Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you do your part. You need to do your part and still share the truth with people that are not saved. And guys, you know what? Those that get saved, that's awesome. God worked and God used you. But don't worry about those that reject Christ.
Yeah.
God will take care of them later.
Right.
You focus on the person that they want to listen to you. Maybe that one person that asks you questions about the Bible, they want to learn more, and you have more experience. You learn more about the Bible. Guys, listen to those people. There's those people that actually are looking up to you and saying, maybe Brother Ethan, I want to learn more about the Bible. What does the Bible say about modesty? What does the Bible say about relationships? What does the Bible say about how to be a good man? Guys, there's people looking up to you. You might not see it now, but there will come a time where people will ask you questions about the Bible. You know what? There will be questions about all types of subjects, but are you prepared to handle that? Are you prepared to deal with that? Are you prepared to give an answer to those questions?
Mm-hmm.
Look at my third point and last. Third point and last says, it's the humbling commission. We look at verses 18 through 20, and says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So this man's life has changed. He's, you know, sitting with Jesus, talking with him. And then in verse 18, when they kick Jesus out, they tell him to get back on the ship, he goes to him and he prays that he could stay with God.
Yeah.
You know, this is incredible. This man went from living in the cemetery, from torturing himself, to now wanting to be at Jesus' side, which, I mean, I understand. I would want to be with Jesus at all times too. But look at verse number 19. It says, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Guys, Jesus had something that people in the town didn't have for him. And it was, if you notice, it says the word compassion. Guys, God has compassion on people that want to happen, that want to get saved. He has compassion. He loves everyone. Everyone in this world is created by him. He loves us all. But yet, some, very few, love him back.
Mm-hmm.
And God has compassion on everyone's soul. When they get saved, God shows compassion and love and mercy and grace. But yet, so many will still reject Christ. And yet, you know, it says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. Yes, you know, this man, like I said, I understand where he's coming from. I would want to go with Jesus too after he changed my life. I'd want to learn more, go about his journeys, and see what else God can do, not just in, you know, my life, but in other people's lives. But God gave him the great commission. God gave him a humbling commission. And it says, he told them to go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. In verse 20, it says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. The man wanted nothing more than to be with Christ. However, God had other plans. God's will for this man was to tell others of what had been done in his life and what God can do for their life. You know what? There is freedom and redemption through Christ. Yep. Are we doing what God has called us to do? You know what? This man might have been a little bit upset or maybe sad at first when God told him to go out into the country. But if you notice, it didn't even say he hesitated. It didn't say he pled with Christ the more. It says, and he departed. That means this man instantly left. He went and told all the country folks. I mean, could you imagine this guy coming back to your city, coming back to the town where you live and saying, oh, I'm normal again. Or God did this in my life. God changed me. I'm not possessed. He's clothed. He's completely normal. It's a spectacle. It's something that you wouldn't imagine in your mind in a million years would happen, because this man had been so long over there torturing himself and being filled with an unclean spirit. But God, that was his task that God gave to him. And he did it immediately. He ran and published to Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And it says all men did marvel. Guys, when God shows up, all men did marvel. All men will see the great mighty works that God can do and that only he can do. When you see God work in your life, you can't help but just thank him for his love and for his power of converting. You know what? God can work in your life. You might be praying for somebody for so long to get saved, and when they finally get saved, you just sit back and thank God for his grace. You know what? God, you might have a family member that was with a really bad illness, that was dealing with something that no human person can heal or can take care of. But you know what? When God showed up in your life, did you thank him? Did you go back and say, thank you, God, for what you did? God, for coming through once again, for God showing up in my life and showing me that you are real. Guys, do you take the time to thank God for showing up in your life? Do you thank God for all the times that he's come through, that he's provided for you, that he's taken care of you, that he's taken care of your family, your siblings, your parents? Say, guys, when God comes through, all did marvel. All of us will sit back and think, wow, what a mighty God we serve. Yeah. What a wonderful God that we serve. Yeah. But yet so many Christians, like I said, God can come through as many times, but we won't take the time of day to sit and say, thank you, God. We'll just go by and say, well, I deserve that. You didn't deserve anything but to die and go to hell. God is gracious and merciful. And yet, even nowadays, some Christians take advantage of that. They think it's just a license to sin, as Pastor says. But no, guys, God's grace is renew every day. His mercy, he is loving and forgiving. Guys, we don't deserve to be alive even today. We don't deserve to have the things that we have. We don't deserve to be in the ministries or to be involved in anything that we are involved. But guys, God loves us too much. God is so forgiving and God is so good. Mm-hmm. Guys, don't take advantage of that. Don't take advantage of God's love for you. Don't take advantage of the fact that God is merciful and gracious, and his graces are new every day. Guys, there's going to come a time where it's going to cut out. God's grace is going to be, you know, done for. You know, you keep playing around with sin. You keep playing around with the vials of the world. You keep playing around with wickedness and immorality, and you keep hanging out with those bad friends. And guys, eventually it's going to come to a point where God says, all right, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. That's it. It's over for you. Guys, Brother Tom can tell you there's so many people that he's seen, you know, come around our bus routes, or even that were in church and no longer in church. They never made it past 21. Think about that. What could have been with their lives? What could have been had they had lived for God and just stay true to him? Guys, we don't want to hear about your guys' untimely death. Nobody wants to hear about no one's death. I mean, death comes when it needs to, but guys, we don't want you guys to ruin your lives and end it short because of your foolish decisions. We don't want you guys to be involved so much in sin that you can't hear God speaking to you anymore. Right. That's a dangerous territory to be in. We don't want you guys to ever have to, you know, suffer and go through people that live in sin. Go through, guys, there's nothing satisfying. There's nothing worth trying in the world. There's nothing worth giving a time of day to the world. The devil might seem convincing, and he's convinced so many people that the vials of the world, that the luxuries of the world are better than whatever God has for their life. Mm. They went out and tried it, and they found out the hard way.
Yep.
That it is not worth it. It's horrible. It's pathetic. Guys, do you want to be a good man in your marriage? Mm. Do you guys want to be a good father to your future children? Do you guys want to be the leader of your household? Well, then you have to start things right now.
Amen.
And get in the Word of God. Start getting right with God, and God will show you things as time progresses. God will show you what you need to do. God will show you the right spouse. God will show you at the right time when you need the spouse. God will provide things at the right time.
Yep.
You just have the task of being faithful and staying true to Him.
Amen.
When you have an inconsistent Bible life, a devotion life, then you're most certainly your Christian life is going to be as inconsistent as your devotion life. You know what? You might come to church even one time. You might only read your Bible one time, but thank God that He can still take you back at any time.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a time where God says, I can't take this person. I can't, save this person. This person is not worth my time. Never has God ever said that or done that. God takes anybody as it is. Just a couple weeks ago, we had that evangelist from Indiana. You know, he was, I think he said he was 35 around that age, and he was, his own lawn mowing company and everything. And God saved his soul. God saved him. And now he completely changed his life. And now he's an evangelist going from state to state in America, preaching the gospel. Guys, it's never too late. It's never too late to get saved. But we don't want you to hold off on that decision.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most important decision to make in your life. And if you haven't done that, guys, today is the day of redemption. Today is the day you need to take care of that. Today is the day that you can witness a change in your life like this maniac did. Guys, this man, he went from a maniac to a missionary.
Amen.
He went from tormenting and living in sin to completely changing his life around and going and sharing the truth to people about Christ. Guys, you've been saved. For those of you that are saved, you've been saved. You might have been saved for 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, however long you've been saved. What have you done? What have you done in that time frame since then? Have you shared the gospel? Have you grown spiritually? Have you learned more about the Bible and who God is? Or are you still at that first step of learning of the baby steps of a baby Christian? Guys, for those of us that have been saved longer, we should be farther up. We should have learned more. We should be spiritually more mature.
That's right.
And it shouldn't be that we have the same we're at the same learning level as a baby Christian.
Right.
Or verse 20, I mentioned he had no hesitation. He simply followed God's command. God makes a difference in every life He touches.
Mm-hmm.
Has He touched yours? Look at Mark 16:15, and I'll be finished. Mark 16:15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Guys, that's the Great Commission. That is our job right there.
Yeah.
For those of us that are saved, it is clear cut. It is perfectly put right there. There is no confusing it right from that scripture. There's no way you can get it wrong. Guys, God's command for us is that we go and preach the gospel to every creature, because every man deserves an opportunity. Every man deserves to hear the gospel. Even that person at school that's always in trouble, that's always disrespecting the teacher, that's always getting themselves into some kind of mischief, they deserve the gospel too. But are you doing your part? Are you sharing the truth? Are you going to your neighborhood? Are you a testimony in everywhere that you go? Do people know that God lives in you? Do people see that Jesus is real in your life? Guys, you might be the only person that somebody could ever hear about Jesus from. Think about that. You might come in contact with somebody that the closest they'll ever get to Jesus is hearing Him through you. Are we taking advantage of the situation? Are we taking advantage of the opportunities that God presents to us? You know what? Every day that we go out, we meet new people. Especially for my job, I go out to gas stations, I go out to different areas in the country and work, and I see new people all the time. And I think about, how many of these people are saved? How many of these people go to a church?
Right.
How many of these people have been presented the gospel in their life?
Right.
And you know what? I mean, I do carry tracts with me at work. I hand them out. Sometimes I, forget about it, forget about my tracts, and I should grab more. But guys, even in situations like that, you might not see that person ever again if you just hand them a tract out of the state. But the message in the back is what's important.
That's right.
Are you doing that? Are you involved in the Great Commission? Are you serious about sharing the gospel? When you don't get serious about sharing the gospel, guys, when you know of somebody that's not saved and they die, and they don't go to heaven when they die, their blood is on your hands, guys, because you knew the truth and you didn't share it.
Yeah.
Or do you want to live with that guilt, with that shame of knowing what the truth is but never sharing it with them? Guys, that's something to think about. It's something that, you know, shocks me even to this day. Do you share the truth? Do you want people to get saved personally? Think about it. If the person that witnessed to you gave up and said, I don't want to witness to this person, I don't want to share the truth with them, I don't want to do anything anymore with them. Think about that. Had they given up on you, would you be even in this class today? Would you be sharing the truth today? Would you be where you are spiritually had that person that witnessed to you gave up on you? Guys, what we witnessed here in Mark 5 was a life completely changed.
Yeah.
How a man went from being filled with an unclean spirit to sharing the gospel in a town that kicked Jesus out. Mm-hmm. Guys, that's something only God can do. That's something that we will only see as Christians, that God can work in someone's life. Mm-hmm. Guys, there's many other stories, even in history, we can read about people coming from messed up lives, messed up homes, and messed up situations. But God showed up in their life and changed them, and now they're doing a great work for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Guys, don't let it get to that point. Don't let it get to the point where you're so far from God that you have to start from scratch again.
Mm-hmm.
Take charge now. Be determined. Persevere. And ask God, God, let me stay true to you. Help me to live for you and to stay true and focused on you so I don't get sidetracked. Mm-hmm. Because guys, we want you guys to be here in the next decade. We want you guys to be here in 10 years and still serving the Lord as strong as you are now. We don't want to hear a sad report about you guys maybe living out in the world and your lives are ruined and, you know, we think, what could have been?
Yep.
Guys, what can it be now? What can you do now to make an impact in your community and to make an impact in God's will for your life? Are you going to choose to share the truth? Are you going to choose to share the gospel? Or are you going to continue to hide it in yourself and not do anything that God has called you to do? All right, bow your heads and close your eyes.